I don't do drugs. I'm addicted to the pain, though. Yeah, I've been on it for a while. Don't know how to put it down. Gotta have it. It's a habit. But I'm a break, though. I just want to take a hit. Keep saying I'm a quit. Keep saying I'm a leave. But I don't, though. I just want a little fix. I don't want to take a risk. I don't like it when I drift from the safe zone. But lately, I've been thinking I'm a have to. Letting go of things that I'm attached to. World don't stop just because I'm in a bad mood. I swear I'm trying to get better. Sleeves up, putting work in, trying to get myself together. Because I can feel the water trying to go up over my head. Most of my life, I always felt like I was holding my breath, holding my chest, to be honest, so I'm so tired of it, looking for something in my life to be inspired again. I like to walk around and act like I don't know what it is, but I know what it is, I just don't want to ever commit. I need change. I'm running from change. I'm looking for change. But I need change. Yeah, I don't like new things. I've got a lot of mood swings. Oh, you want to tell me something negative? I don't really care what you think. Yeah, I'm tossing in my sleep every night for like 2 weeks, thinking about how I could have done this or done that better. I can't help it, it's just me. That's me avoiding the change. Yeah, that's probably why the issues aren't going away. And it's probably why I always sit around and complain, telling myself that I ain't ever getting out of this place. Out of my face, if you're telling me I need to be different. That's the issue, though. I'm always insecurity-driven. I need change. Yeah, it's kind of easy to say, right? But difficult to do when I feel like I hate life. And even around me kind of thinks I'm a great... So everyone around me kind of thinks I'm a great guy. But I never, ever think it, so I think I'm a great lie. Change is something that I know I should do. I feel a little uncomfortable, to tell you the truth. But be honest with you lately, I've got nothing to lose. I've been full of pain, and now I'm making some room. I need change. I'm running from change. I'm looking for change. I'm searching for change. I wonder if anyone here can relate to those words. 7.4 million views on YouTube for that particular song tells me that there are a lot of people out there that do relate to that, those words. Does the world need change? Does our town, does Eastleigh need change? There was quite a lot of ways that I could have gone into this talk, thinking about change, and I was thinking about, you know, let's talk, we could go into the mechanics of change and how we can create change in our own lives and all that kind of thing. Maybe talk about setting goals, being accountable, maybe read a self-help book. Maybe even this book here, Seven Habits of a Highly Effective People. I'll tell you now, it's hundreds of pages long, and I'm not very good at reading. I've only read the first chapter. but it was great. but yeah, I could bring you tips about changing habits, maybe making small tweaks, making small changes in your own life, or maybe making huge, big changes. There's so much advice out there, and some of it is really good, and it is worth seeking out. But I didn't feel that was the route that I was going down or that I was being led down this evening while I was preparing for this. I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks, maybe about a month ago, I received a word from someone. It was after a church service. And the word was, just roll with it. So I thought, well, that sounds great, but what does that actually mean? So I'm a fairly laid-back kind of guy. I always thought I was quite good at just rolling with it. Just kind of going with the flow. In fact, maybe even too good. You know, I'm quite a last-minute kind of person. At uni, I would always pull an all-nighter, like the day before the exam, you know, get some music on, get some energy drinks in, you know, it was fine. It was whatever keeps me awake, keeps me going, it'll be fine. And I did okay, so it worked. but I've always been that kind of person, like last-minute. And the problem with being a last-minute kind of person is someone who just kind of goes with it. Sometimes it really doesn't work. Apparently, sometimes people at a small group want to know where it's being hosted before 10 to 8. I don't understand why, but apparently that's a thing. Sometimes I didn't verify this before, but I might get in trouble here. Sometimes Michelle likes to know if I've got a meeting with someone so that she can arrange to do things with Jonah and make sure she's got the right things. So I need to tell her before the day that I'm doing something on a certain day, which I'm not very good at. And apparently it's stressful for planners, like people like Michelle, to be with people like me who just roll with it and just kind of, it'll be fine. So when I got this word, just roll with it, I kind of didn't really understand. Because I was kind of going through a time in my life when I was starting to think, you know, I need to be more organized. I need to be more intentional with my time. You know, I need to be, especially with a little boy, you know, your time just gets eaten up if you don't decide what to do with it beforehand. So it's just like, well, I've got to get organized, got to get structured, make the most of it. And then this word comes, just roll with it. And it was kind of frustrating because I know my own personal experience. If I just allow that, if I just keep rolling with it and just keep on going with it, then I'm just going to struggle with all the same things I used to struggle with and be frustrated with the same things, just like the person who wrote the song. I kind of felt like I need change. But God was telling me to trust him. And I guess I'm still kind of working on that and wrestling through that. But I believe that has steered me a little bit in this kind of preparation for this talk. And I kind of, the focus really is kind of away from me and away from looking at my problems and what my issues are, and more kind of focus on who God is. So it's quite a really straightforward message this evening. There's only 2 points. The first one is change isn't always good, and the second one is that God doesn't change. So just to set the scene a little bit then on Malachi, which is where the verse comes from this evening. So Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, and so it's talking about the Israelites, and it's after the Exodus, after they've been brought out. After that, it's after they've been wandering around for 40 years, waiting to hear where God's going to send them. It's after they've found the promised land and entered and kind of been there and enjoyed that. It's after they've had kings and judges, some really good kings, some really bad kings. It's after all of that. It's after when they go into exile, they get taken away from their country. They get taken away by a different people group and kind of split out. And it's after when they return. God brings them back to Jerusalem, and in Nehemiah, they rebuild the walls of the city. So it's after all of this. It's kind of like at the end of the story, or this part of it anyway, the end of exile. And this is where we find the book Malachi. So it's all about kind of returning and rebuilding. It's all about starting again. So the book of Nehemiah was all about rebuilding. And he had re-established some core focuses for the people that they'd probably lost throughout the way. Some of those core focuses were helping the poor. Focus on marriages, keeping the Sabbath, bringing offerings and tithing. You know, those were some of the things that Nehemiah really helped them to kind of refocus their energies. And then Nehemiah returned to Persia, and that's where his job was. So he's returned there, and he's kind of left them in a good place. You know, they're back in Jerusalem, they've been restored, they've kind of rediscovered these core values, and so they're kind of starting to obey. They're in a good place when Nehemiah leaves them. Have you ever felt like you're in a good place? Adam and Eve were in a good place, weren't they? They had the union with God, being able to be with him and walk with him in the garden, relationship with God, communication, all of it, perfect. They were in a good place. Everything they could ever need. After communion this evening, for those of you who have taken communion, we are in a good place, covered by the blood of the Lamb, forgiven, restored, accepted. Jesus says, come. We are in a good place, the best place. So how does this go so badly wrong sometimes? Change isn't always good. Maybe it's temptation. Maybe it's the idea that grass is going to be greener on the other side. Maybe I should change my job. Maybe I should go over there and work for that company. Lots of examples of what we could do. I don't think social networking sites really help with this struggle. We're kind of bombarded with the highlights of everyone else's life. We kind of see what they've been up to, where they've been on holiday. And we can be left thinking like, oh, I wish I could go there. I wish I could do that. I really wish that I could take a photo of Jonah, Abby, and Rennie when they're all looking at the camera at the same time and smiling. I'm not sure if that's wishful thinking. But we can be left thinking kind of, well, what if? We kind of feel like, well, thanks God, it's great for all this provision. You know, it's wonderful. It's great. But what if I could have something else? What if I actually need more than what you've given to me? What if God was wrong? Do you ever wonder that? What if God got it wrong? Going back to Adam and Eve, God said the fruit was forbidden, didn't he? He said, don't eat that fruit. But what if that fruit was the tastiest fruit that they're ever going to experience? What if it was the best fruit? What if God was wrong? Or maybe God was just worried that having eaten that fruit, they were going to become like God and take over. Maybe he was just scared. Would you ever get that voice in your head that says, yeah, but what if? What if his plan wasn't better for my life? What if my own plan was better? What if my timescales were better, actually? It's kind of, thanks God for everything, but actually, I need some more. What if you were wrong, God? So we're going to look a little bit at the Israelites, a bit of a background for the story here. And it says, so regarding offerings, so this is just a little bit of kind of Old Testament law, for very briefly. So kind of regarding offerings, God had asked them to give him the best. Give me your best offering. He kind of said, teach your family about me. Tell them how you've saved me. Tell them how what I've done for you and how I've rescued you. He said not to marry anyone who worships a foreign god or who doesn't have a god at all. He says, take marriage seriously. And he told them that he was a jealous God. And he requires the people to put him first and to serve no other gods. But what if? What if I use my best animal as an offering? I'm going to be deprived. I'm going to be without my most prized asset. What if instead I give a diseased animal? I can still fulfill the requirement of the law, but I'm going to still protect my net worth. That sounds a bit like a good idea. What if, and I'm not supposed to marry anybody else who serves a different god, but actually, those women are so much more attractive than the women we have here. And other people do it, and they're fine. God will probably forgive me anyway. I bet the consequences aren't that bad. What if God was exaggerating when he was talking about marriage? It's more like an ideal that we can't actually meet. We just have to try the best we can. And if false gods aren't even real anyway, what's the harm? You know, it's just a bit of metal. It doesn't really, they're not real. So I'm only doing it to keep the missus happy. So I'll still offer my animal. I'm slightly diseased. I'll still do my tithes. Well, when I can, most of the time. What if God was wrong? What if it would actually work out fine and he was just being really picky? Does that sound familiar? Do you ever think like that? Do you ever kind of think, what if? And what if I could do that, actually? I know God says this, but what if? Yeah, but what if? So in chapter 3 of Malachi, the people conclude to themselves that serving God is futile. And in verse 14, it says, because they don't get anything out of it. They don't enjoy it. It makes them miserable, I say. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like, what can God do for me? What's the point? What can I get out of it? The change isn't always good. When we stray away from God's plan, when we say, yeah, but what if? It didn't work out too well for Adam and Eve. You know, they were cut out of the garden. They had this relationship with God. They had this unity. They had this amazing relationship. They could walk with the Lord. As soon as they decided, yeah, but what if that's better? What if I can make my own mind up and I can do my own thing? It didn't work out too well. It didn't work out too well for the Israelites either. Later on in the passage, God says that there's judgment is coming. It won't work out too well for us. And when we decide to do our own thing, to say, actually, what if our idea is better? We take a step away from God. So change isn't always a good thing. But what about God? He doesn't change. And this is the key verse. This is the verse I was given. Malachi 3, verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change. So if God doesn't change, I thought it'd be worthwhile finding out what he's like. God is holy. When Adam and Eve chose to do their own thing, he had to cut them out. He had to cut the connection off because they were no longer perfect. They were no longer clean. They were no longer able to be with him because he is holy and they were not. He is holy. He is proactive. He sets out a rescue mission plan to rectify this. So the Adam and Eve story is Genesis 1 and 2, pretty much, and Genesis 3. From Genesis 3 onwards is the rescue plan for the rest of mankind. So he's proactive. He gets stuck in. He makes a way back. He chooses a nation to become his own, to be a blessing to everybody, everyone else. What else does he do? He communicates. He speaks with his people. He gives clear instruction. He sent prophets, like Malachi, to speak to his people, to point out where they were going wrong, and to implore them to return. He gets involved. He speaks with Abraham, and he makes promises to him. He wrestles with Jacob. He wants to partner with humans and make covenants with us. He sent Jesus to experience human life and to show us his kingdom here. He is all-powerful. He demonstrated his power through Jesus whilst he was here, feeding 5,000 people plus, walking on water, raising Lazarus from the dead, healing, and ultimately defeating death itself. And finally, he brings light into darkness. John 8, verse 12 says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So this is who God is. All on the screen there. That's not all he is. Lots of other things, but those are just some that I've picked out. God does not change. How does that make you feel when you look at that list? He is still holy. He is still proactive. He still wants to get involved with us. He still communicates. He still speaks through his word. He still wants to get involved. He still wants to get involved in our lives, in our day-to-day. He wants to be there. He is still all-powerful over and above anything that we're going through. And he still wants to bring light into dark situations. So next time you find yourself thinking, yeah, but what if? Yeah, but what if? Stop and tell yourself, no, but God is. Sometimes you have a little bit of a dialogue, kind of between two voices. You kind of got this voice on the right hand, kind of saying, yeah, but what if this? What if you could do this? What if you can get more money? What if you could have a bigger house? What if you could do this and that? It would be great. And the other voice is, yeah, no, but God is. And the other voice will probably be like, what do you mean God is? What does that mean? And the other voice says, I'm so glad you asked. God is all these things. God is a way maker. He makes way for all of us to be back in relationship with him. He makes a way for us to be forgiven. He makes a way in the desert. He makes streams of living water where ground is barren. He is a way maker. He is a miracle worker. He is over and above everything. Nothing is outside his control or beyond his power. He's a promise keeper. He is true to all his promises. He made promises to Abraham about his descendants, about the people, which he kept. He made promises to the Israelites, kind of despite their behavior sometimes, that there would always be a remnant of people, of his family on this earth. He promised to send a helper to us, the Holy Spirit. He promised that Jesus would return one day. And that we will be with him and see him as he is. He is the light in the darkness. This is who God is. And God doesn't change. But those two voices, the one that says, yeah, but what if? And then the other one that says, no, but God is. We've really got to decide almost which voice we listen to the most. We have a choice in that. There's this kind of fight going on between the two. And if you're kind of looking at the world, or you're looking at the waves, or you're looking at kind of social media, or whatever it might be, possibly you're more likely to hear the voice that says, yeah, but what if? What if? But maybe if you're looking at God, reading his word, spending time in prayer, maybe we're more likely to hear the other voice. Change. So I don't know if you relate to the poem that I read earlier or not. But from the perspective of the writer, you know, it's frustration, knowing that they need to change, knowing that they really want to change, but actually they're scared of change. They're running from change. Change is difficult. I want to change, but I don't like it. Maybe you relate to that. Maybe you're in a good place right now. It's good to celebrate that. It's good to celebrate God's goodness and God's provision for you. But I'd just like to add a warning that not to be complacent. Like I said, Adam and Eve were in a good place. The Israelites were in a good place. Sometimes we can be in a good place and we hear that voice that says, yeah, but what if? Don't be complacent. I'm starting to learn. I need to try and stop focusing on my own situation, my own weaknesses, but instead to put more focus on who God is. This is why I spent the majority of this talk telling you who he is. And what he's done. And we spent all evening singing about what he's done and who he is. So tonight, we have more opportunity to continue to do that. And we're going to take time soon to sing, and we're going to declare who God is to each other. We're going to put a focus solely on God. And there's a challenge that is difficult for us to try and take that focus like with us to tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that. And that is a real challenge and something that we all kind of need to engage with and really need help with. And we need to support each other in that. But right now, all we have is this situation right now. But what could it look like if we focused more on God and who he was? What would our lives look like? What would our church family look like? What would our town look like? We're going to sing a refrain soon. The words will come up on the screen. I'm going to play the keyboard very basically, just to set expectations. Fortunately, Lauren has said she will play, so she'll help us with the melody. But it's a really simple refrain. And, you know, the music is basic and I make a mistake. It really doesn't matter. It's not important what the music's like. It's important who God is and what he's done. So as we sing, and this links in so well with what Sue said earlier, as we sing these words, can I try to let them speak into your life, over your situation. We just need to praise God for who he is sometimes and kind of bring that into our everyday. So right now, we're here. So let's praise him. Let's focus on who he is and what he's done. And I'm going to encourage you to, if you pick it up and you want to sing along, please sing along. There may be someone here this evening who can't sing along because it's too painful maybe, or their situation just isn't good, or whatever it might be. So I'm going to encourage those who are singing to really, really sing. To really sing on behalf of someone who maybe can't sing. Just to speak truth into each other's lives. Speak truth into someone's life. Let it speak into your life too. What we'll do is I'll start playing. I'll ask Lauren to play the melody a few times. And then I'll start to sing. And if you want to sing along at that point, just please do stand and sing along. and then we'll kind of see where we go from there.